Listen. This is the sound of a bomb falling on a European school during the last war.
Listen. Our schools were not bombed as were the European schools. But more than 3 years after the end of the war, they're being harmed just as surely as though they'd been blasted by a fleet of heavy bombers.
Living 1948, brought to you each week by NBC and its affiliated stations, holds up its radio mirror today upon the opening of the new school year for 32 million young Americans to reflect the post-war conditions of our public schools in a drama document entitled
Danger, School Zone.
My children, Ellen, Jill, and Carla, who deserve the best education that democracy can provide.
So, not so very long ago, did a reporter for one of the foremost newspapers in the nation inscribe his first-hand report to the people on the state of education in our public schools.
I spent 6 months examining the schools of this country. My tour took me through most of the important cities, through half the state of the Union, and into scores of rural areas. I was a reporter seeking as impartial, as accurate, as unbiased a story as I could humanly get.
Meanwhile, a separate survey was undertaken by the National Opinion Research Center. Question.
Are you satisfied with what your children are getting from their education in school?
80% said.
Well, yes, I'm satisfied.
Question.
Is there any kind of change you'd like to see made in the public schools?
More than half said.
Nope, no changes.
Here's a typical comment from Louisiana.
I think everything is real nice the way they have it.
Real nice, hmm? What I found was shocking. America's public school system is in the midst of the most serious crisis in its history. Our children are being cheated. I shall try to be constructive, to give the facts without sugarcoating. It may be unpalatable medicine for some, but for the good of our children, for the good of our democracy, it is medicine that must be taken. To begin with, every state in the Union suffers from a shortage of qualified teachers. Everywhere, the story was the same.
That's my recommendation to the school board, and I'll stick by it.
Close the school?
You can't run a school without teachers.
During 1946, nearly 6,000 schools closed for lack of teachers. 75,000 children did not get schooling of any kind. Now, while most of our schools have managed to limp along, the cry for more teachers is so universal as to be almost commonplace.
Said Dr. M.D. Collins, Georgia Superintendent of Schools.
We need more teachers. Some of the teachers we now employ just call the roll. They can't teach.
Said Dr. Curtis E. Warren, former San Francisco school head.
It is impossible to get the teachers we need. We're understaffed. We'll take anyone who wants to teach.
Said Dr. Arthur Linden, placement director, Teachers College, Columbia University.
Of the requests that were made to us for teachers over the past 2 years, we've been unable to help in 40 or 50% of the cases.
All states report vacancies on both the elementary and secondary levels that they simply cannot fill. As far back as 2 years ago, Arizona was reporting
650 unfilled teaching positions.
North Carolina,
850 vacancies.
Maine,
1,295 teachers wanted.
Washington,
needed 1,000 teachers.
Oklahoma,
2,190.
In all, there were 70,000 unfilled positions and vacancies in the schools of the nation during 1946-47. Yet, in the words of the late Dr. Benjamin Frazier of the U.S. Office of Education,
the teacher shortage, acute as it is today, will grow worse during the next 5 years.
Reason enough for a special fact-finding council on education to verbally shudder.
Such a situation would be bad at any time, but in such times as ours, as we face unprecedented national and international problems, the crisis in teaching is a crisis in American life.
Let me show you what this shortage has done. In the first place, it has made school superintendents desperate for teachers.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't smoke in the school building, Mr. Howard. Rules, you know.
Oh, okay.
Did you say you'd never taught before?
Nope, never did.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do now?
For me, I drive a cab.
A cab. Mm. And what has been the extent of your schooling?
Come again?
How far did you get in your education?
Well, I graduated from high school. Never was much good in math.
The supply of teachers is so inadequate, and the situation so desperate, that in many instances I actually found school superintendents who, at wit's end, had hired taxicab drivers, mechanics, telephone operators, and retired janitors to become teachers. Today, our schools employ 125,000 teachers on emergency or substandard licenses. You know what that means? One out of every seven teachers in this country cannot meet the minimum requirements of his state. Statistics don't make for exciting drama, but my job is to report facts, not invent fiction. I wonder what you'll think of these statistics.
In some states, one out of every three teachers are on emergency licenses. For instance,
43% of our teachers are emergency teachers.
That was the state of Washington.
One-third of our teachers are substandard.
That's what I found in Alabama, and the same goes for North Dakota. But all this isn't true only of the so-called poorer states. Listen to California.
Almost a quarter of our teaching staff are on emergency teaching certificates.
More disturbing, much more disturbing, I say, is the fact that over 36,000, or nearly one out of every three of these substandard teachers teaching our children today have not gone beyond high school. Let me tell you about one of the worst examples I came across on my trip. In a town in the Midwest, 20 miles from a large city, I visited a small, three-room rural school.
Come in, come in. Don't worry about packing in mud. We got plenty of it in here.
A seedy-looking man of 45 who had completed high school 25 years ago served as principal. During the war, he worked as a tool and die cutter in one of the factories. When the war ended, he became weary of machine shop work, heard teachers were needed, and so...
The county superintendent hired me. Never taught a day before in my life. It was hard at first, not knowing how to make out a schedule and such things. But I figured out what to do and done the whole thing without any help.
Apple cores and dirty milk bottles were strewn all over the floor. A pot-bellied stove gave off acrid smoke that brought tears to the eyes. The children were noisy.
Quiet down there! Keep quiet! I wasn't showed one thing, how to conduct a school. But it just came as natural to me as if I'd taught all my life. So I'm going to continue to teach, see? I don't want to go back to the shop. Poor element works there. I don't want to associate with the low type, see? I was out of my element.
Any discipline problems?
Oh, none at all. I use a stick. See it in the corner? Cut them up now and then. Oh, I try to appeal to their intellect. If I can't, I wham them. Quiet!
This example, as I have pointed out, is among the worst that I found. Please do not construe from this that all our emergency teachers are incompetent. Many are qualified, but it became more and more obvious as I went along that only by ridding our public schools of substandard teachers are we going to save our children from substandard teaching. And to further complicate our problem is this sort of thing.
Did you want to see me, Miss Jones?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. I got tied up on that auditorium program for graduation. What's your problem?
Well, I guess you might say I don't have a problem anymore. What I came to tell you was, as soon as the term's over, I'm giving up teaching.
But, Miss Jones, we've been very pleased with your work. I can't understand it.
Yes, to complicate our problem further, there has been an unprecedented exodus from the nation's schools, usually on the part of our best instructors. Since 1941... 350,000 teachers over the normal loss rate have left the classroom. This year, it is predicted 75,000 more will leave. Never before have so many persons left any profession. And you can imagine what this does to classrooms.
Attention, children. Attention, please. I'm your new spelling teacher. My name is Miss Barry. Now, can anyone tell me where you left off with your last teacher?
Some weeks later.
Attention, class, please. Quiet, quiet. Now, I'm your new spelling teacher. My name is Miss Stone. Can anyone tell me where you left off with Miss Berry?
This rapid turnover in teachers sometimes means children find a new teacher before them every week. Great Britain finds it necessary to annually replace only one out of every 33 teachers. When, even in normal times, one out of every 10 of our teachers has to be replaced each year, it doesn't take long to figure that something is rotten. Not in Great Britain, but in the United States. So I ask, where are we going to get the teachers to replace those that are leaving? Teachers' colleges? The answer came back to me.
We don't have them in teachers' colleges.
Why? How come? I thought our colleges were flooded with students.
Yes, but teachers' colleges are being entered as a last resort by many students who can't get anywhere else and hope to transfer later. You see, teaching has lost its appeal for the young high school boy or girl.
A survey conducted among 600 deans in the United States.
From your observation, sir, how do your students regard entering the teaching profession as compared with other professions, such as medicine, law, engineering?
Answer. Give me anything but teaching.
3 out of 4 said that. Indeed, said one honor student in a Midwestern university.
My professors advised me to stay away from teaching. They said I was smart enough to do something worthwhile for a living.
Why? Why the tremendous teacher shortage, the substandard teaching, the terrific turnover, the empty teachers' colleges, this cheating of our children? You, like I did, will want to know why, and you have a right to know. Well, here's what I found out.
Money. As simple as that. Money.
Take a look at these charts. These charts show how much of their national income 3 countries, Russia, Great Britain, and the United States, spent on public school education during 1946.
I'm looking.
Great Britain, 3%. Russia, 8% of its national income. The United States, that's you and me, only 1.5%. Half the percentage Great Britain spent for education, and about a fifth as much as Russia. It's far less than we spend for liquor, tobacco, or cosmetics.
Sure, I was shocked. Just like you are. And wherever I went, I found that this, the question of money, disturbs more teachers than any other single issue. I remember in one high school talking to one teacher.
Well, what would you like to know?
How long have you been teaching?
35 years.
Uh-huh. What is your salary now?
$45 a week.
What is your educational training?
I have 2 degrees from 2 of the best universities in the country.
How do you feel about all this?
Well, they tell me I've succeeded in my job. I'm head of the chemistry department. Men come to me for advice from the industrial firms for miles around. Yet in any other profession, I'd be a failure if after 35 years I was making the pay I now get.
Anecdote.
In one state, when the question of salaries came up, the new chairman of the education department asked,
"What do our teachers get a year?"
About $20 a week, sir.
Why, impossible. My office boy gets more than that.
Impossible? Huh. Listen to this.
The average American classroom teacher last year received $2,300 for the year, or just about $45 a week. Rural teachers earned less than $30 a week.
Keep listening, please.
Despite inflationary prices, 10,000 teachers today still get less than $12 a week. Another 200,000 get $25 a week or less. More than half the teachers in the country get below $40.
Wait, I'm not through yet. Let's take a large Midwest city as a typical example of how a community can neglect its teachers.
I'm a prison cook. I start at $53 a week.
I'm a dog catcher. I get $48 a week.
I'm a garbage collector foreman. I get $92 a week.
I'm a rat exterminator foreman. I begin at over $3,000 a year.
I'm a school teacher in that same city. I begin at $40 a week, less than the prison cook, the dog catcher, garbage collector, and rat exterminator foreman get to start. And that only after I've completed a minimum of 4 years of college and shown unusual ability in guiding children, plus a superior knowledge of one or more specific subjects. I can reach $70 only with a master's degree and after 8 years.
Small wonder, is it not, that thousands of our teachers throughout the country have to augment their wages with part-time jobs like...
truck driver.
Welder.
Clerk.
Bill collector.
Shoe salesman.
Waitress.
Milkman.
Nursemaid.
Bartender.
Small wonder, too, that there has been a grand exodus out of the teaching profession to other higher-paying jobs with the repeated comment,
I just can't afford to teach.
I found other reasons teachers are leaving the profession. The morale is low. The restrictions put upon teachers by the community, some of which deny their fundamental rights as free American citizens. One teacher told me that as she showed up to sign her contract, the superintendent said...
I would suggest, Miss Wheeler, that you go to Main Church.
Why?
Well, because the members of the Board of Education go there. They wouldn't like it if you went someplace else.
But I hadn't intended to go to any church at the moment. I want to get acquainted with the community before I decide how to spend my Sundays.
I'm awfully sorry. Even though we need a teacher with your experience. I'm afraid you're not the type that would fit into our school system. Thank you very much for calling.
In many communities, if a teacher is not of the predominant religious faith of the school board or of the community, that teacher will not be hired. In many communities, teachers are not permitted to...
smoke or dance.
Go out on dates or be seen in nightclubs.
I'm even told what clothes to wear.
And if a teacher should have the audacity to fall in love like any other human being...
And so, we've decided to get married.
May I be the first to congratulate you. And may I have your resignation, please?
I could go on and on if I had the time. I could prove to you, without much trouble, that it all depends upon what part of the United States you live in, whether or not you get a decent education. I saw pupils going to schools in hovels not fit for cattle, while a few miles away other children attended spacious modern schools that left nothing to be desired. Supplies are wanting.
I'm supposed to keep the children busy. How can I when I don't have art materials, paper, clay, anything to give the children something to do?
I'm trying to conduct a civics class with textbooks 30 years old.
I myself saw textbooks bearing a 1915 copyright. One I saw actually used in a Midwestern city was published in 1889. I have seen geography and history books that had nothing to say about World War I, let alone World War II. Evidently, many politicians think that books are less essential than four-lane highways. As for school buildings, listen.
Only 5 states report their school buildings in good condition. Every state in the Union reports more buildings are needed.
Take another large city. Now, the useful life of a school building is considered to be 50 years. Let's have a report from that city.
200 of our school buildings are older than 50 years at present. Within the next 10 years, half of them will be in that class. 27 school buildings are non-fireproof. Or only partially fireproof.
Thus, thousands of school children in that city alone are housed in buildings which, at their worst, are fire traps. And I'm sure I need not elaborate for most of you parents on the overcrowded conditions in our schools. Conditions, what with the crop of war babies still to be accommodated, are destined to grow even worse. I've painted a gloomy picture, I know. A disheartening picture. For that was the predominant picture I found. And you can imagine if these conditions exist for whites, what the fate of our Negro schools are. I found one meeting in a chicken coop. But thank heaven it wasn't all like that. Thank heaven it was relieved by excellent examples of wonderful schools, well managed in city after city, of teachers to whom we should all be grateful. Teachers who, in spite of everything they've had to put up with, told me,
I love teaching. Teaching is a challenge if one has faith, health, vigor. It's the grandest work in the world.
Not all rural schools, let us be glad, are run down, anemic, or seedy. I discovered one in Tallapoosa, Georgia, that especially would make your heart dance. An example for the nation of what a rural school can do under able guidance. But there's no getting away from the conditions as a whole that I've described. Now, you may ask me...
Whose fault?
Who's responsible?
Who's to blame?
Certainly you can't blame the poorer states, where the need is greatest on almost every count. Believe it or not, many of them spend a greater proportion of their income for education than our wealthier states in the North and West.
Mississippi, for example, spends more of its income on education than such model states as New York, California, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio.
Whose fault?
Who's responsible?
Who's to blame?
The only answer I know is you. You, sitting in your living room listening to this radio program, you are to blame. You and I and our neighbors. The public of these 48 states who stand to gain the most. So let's stop looking for someone to put the finger on and look instead at what we can do about it.
We can give greater financial support to our schools.
Russia is spending $7.5 billion for education to ensure the continuance of communism.
Certainly the United States can do no less to save the cradle of democracy.
We can give our teachers a fair break. We can only get and keep competent teachers if we...
Just give me a salary I can live on, a voice in education, and a normal place in the life of the community.
We can look into federal aid for education.
Federal aid means federal control.
Does it have to be? Education anywhere in the nation is the business of all of us. Perhaps federal aid can be divorced from federal control. But whether or not, that is an answer. An answer must be found.
We can improve our school facilities, rural and city alike.
Hey, wait a minute. I read somewhere that construction alone will cost over $5 billion.
Can you think of a place where $5 billion can be better spent?
We can introduce modern teaching methods.
Progress in education is just as important as progress in science. Let's use every medium, radio, recordings, movies, to eliminate horse and buggy teaching in an atomic age.
Finally, we can all show more public interest in the nation's schools.
Democracy can continue to function only if citizens perform the duties of democracy. There is no more important starting point for a better world than looking into the schools of your local community today.
You will wish to know who made this report and recorded his findings in the recently published book, Our Children Are Cheated. He's here with us today. We turn over our last word to Benjamin Fine, education editor of the New York Times.
Thank you. This is the month our schools open. I pray that this will also be the month that our eyes open. Education has become more important today for the peace of the world than ever before in history. Our public schools deserve our utmost support. To make democracy work, it is necessary that we maintain a strong system of free public schools. Nothing less will do. Inferior schooling today means inferior citizens tomorrow. This is a crusade which all can enter with enthusiasm and vigor.
Thank you, Benjamin Fine.
Thank you.
Living 1948 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. Lou Hazem writes the scripts. Our thanks today to Mr. Benjamin Fine and to his book, Our Children Are Cheated. Technical advice is by Jane Tiffany Wagner. Music is conducted by Milton Catons. John Larkin was our featured player. The program was directed by James Harvey. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1948 by listening next week to another drama document. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.